Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For those of us at CBS, the analysts, the company in general, to have Tom Brady in his 10th Super Bowl is going to be amazing. And I'm sure, as we were talking yesterday, there are a lot of storylines for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, there's a million storylines, and everybody's talked about them. These guys have been interviewed, at length for God knows how long now. I don't know what other new angles we can come up with, but we'll find something. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot of great stories. There's a lot of great personalities on that team. And, you know, give credit to where credit is due. I mean, Tom Brady went down there. He wanted to go down there and play with a new coach. He wanted to play with a team that was loaded with offensive stars. And obviously, we saw yesterday their offensive line is pretty damn good. The mistakes that Green Bay made yesterday, they're going to be sick when they get up and look at the tape over and over and over again. And I know a lot of people are going to be focusing in on Matt LaFleur's decision to kick that field goal and then put it into the hands of his defense and then – you know, who makes the pass interference penalty for Green Bay was Kevin King. Kevin King was a guy who gave up the first touchdown pass to Mike Evans, and he was the guy who gave up the last touchdown pass at the end of the first half to Scotty Miller. I don't know what Mike Pettine, the defense coordinator of Green Bay, was thinking about. I mean, but it befuddles everybody as to how you can allow one guy to make a mistake of that magnitude in that situation. And then, of course, he has the pass interference penalty, which was the penalty and should have been called. Now, there were a couple other penalties that could have been called on the Bucs against the Green Bay Packers wide receivers, but those are kind of ticky-tacky in the middle of the game, and they're trying to stay away from calling penalties. You could see that.
Sure.
But, man, when the game is on the line and it comes down
to
that
third
down.
Yeah, it's that obvious.
It was that obvious. Now, you know, I agree with everybody. I'm totally against what Matt LaFleur did there at the end of the game outside of 2 minutes kicking the field goal. But I do understand why he did. I don't like why he did it. Most people will tell you, you know, go for it there on fourth down. You got Aaron Rodgers. You got Davante Adams. You got all these guys. You know, give him another shot at it. And if you don't make it, then put it in your hands of the defense. You're north of 2 minutes, so you're going to have at least one clock stoppage before you get to your three timeouts. And then you can play defense there. But then you're assuming that Aaron Rodgers is going to get them finally in the end zone and they're going to complete a two-point play, which they couldn't do earlier in the game. And I hate when these teams start chasing points. You know, I always tell you, I have a simple rule, and I don't look at the – I am an analytics guy to a certain point.
But not with two-point conversions and the newfangled math that these guys do.
I hate that. You know, and my buddy Frank and I scream – you know, we argue back and forth.
He's one of those guys. He's definitely one of those guys.
He's a very bright guy. And I'm like – I'm a little bit of a simpleton when it comes to him. But I always say, look, I have a simple rule, Frank. I say, don't go for two until you have to because you just don't know how – the numbers are going to match up, and sometimes they'll go one way, and sometimes they'll go the other way. And when I think of Buffalo last night, they have all these long drives. Now, on 4th and 28, you got to kick a field goal, at least attempt it. I understand that. But, you know, when it's 4th and under 10, and you have these long drives, and you're on the road, and you're playing Kansas City,
and
you're playing the Chiefs, You know, Sean McDermott, as much as I love him as a coach, you still, there are certain times you just got to throw everything out the window. And we're playing to win a game here, and this is the last game of the year if we lose.
Yeah, now's not the time to tighten up. I mean, we've seen a lot of coaches change their philosophy in these fourth down situations the last couple of years, and I don't know what happened in the championship games where these guys decided to have the shrink their shrinkage, as I like to call it, in these big moments, and these guys are like, they're tightening up. Oh, let's just kick the field goal. Let's just do it that way. And the worst part to me about what happened with Green Bay is that third down, you know, Aaron Rodgers has this opportunity to run the football. And I think, I mean, from what you could see, you could only kind of guess that he was going to get damn close to the end zone at that point. But then after the game, he says that, I might have taken off and probably would have if I didn't think we were going to have an opportunity at a fourth down play.
I thought we had
four downs in that situation.
I don't like that answer, man. It's just like, you know what that answer is?
It's crushing your coach.
It sounds like he's running for office and he's going to end up in Washington one of these days. And then whatever, you know, whichever way the wind blows, that's the way he's going to go. But I don't like that. And he obviously says some weird things after the games. And, you know, he's not going anywhere. He's one quarterback that will stay there. He is not going anywhere.
Well, why you say that so confidently? Like, I agree that he'll probably stay, but it does seem like there's some stuff swirling there. And the fact that he said, you know, it wasn't my decision. You could tell that he definitely disagreed with what was going on. I thought we had four downs. I would have handled it differently. Some of the stuff that we have heard out of how he hated the fact that Jordan Love was drafted. I think that there's maybe something there. I would be shocked if he ended up leaving under the circumstances, but there's got to be at least something there.
Yeah, look, this is not Matthew Stafford. This is not Matt Ryan.
Sure.
This is Aaron Rodgers. They've had back-to-back great years. He's going to be the MVP of the NFL.
Yeah.
He'd be stupid to want to go somewhere else. And I know that, you know, you say a lot of things after the games are over, and especially when you lose, when the cut is deeper. But I think, he's not going anywhere. He needs time just to get away from it.
Sure.
And spend a month away and just recharge and then recalibrate and hopefully come. They still have a great team. They still have a very good team, and they're in very good salary cap situation. He's not going anywhere. That's just more emotion talking about than anything else. But they're going to look at this film tomorrow or today, and they're just going to be sick to their stomachs. I mean, he had every opportunity to win the football game. I mean, he had Davante Adams on a back shoulder throw that he basically threw around his kneecaps when Davante usually makes those plays, but that's an impossible catch. And they have to settle for a field goal earlier in the
game. Right, yeah, that was in the end zone, that play.
That was like the first blink for the offense. Like, you know, the team that was going to settle for the field goal was going to end up losing the game, and they ended up settling for the field goal. But, I mean, Tom Brady may have played one of his worst halves of football in the second half of this game.
You know, so in the first half, I texted a friend of mine and said, this is the best I've seen Tom Brady play since the second half of that Falcons Super Bowl when they came back from 28-3. That's the best I'd seen him play. And then in the second half, it was the exact opposite of that. I mean, he was making mistakes that he doesn't normally make. He was giving the Packers an opportunity to get back in. I mean, the narrative this morning across the country would have been that Tom Brady blew this game if the Packers had figured out a way to come back and win, but they couldn't. But he was so good in that first half that we're all going to forget about how bad he was in the second half because he's moving on to the Super Bowl. And I know that it's not exactly the fairest thing to say, but it is funny that one year in the NFC, Tom Brady has as many NFC championships as both Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. So this guy, this guy comes over from the AFC with 9 Super Bowl appearances, one year in the NFC. He's got as many Super Bowl appearances in that conference as the two other storied quarterbacks there.
Well, he's got the 3 touchdown passes, too, that's for sure. So you can't take that away from him. He also had a number of drop passes yesterday.
He was great overall.
Yeah, I think overall he was. And, you know, the key is, like, they won the game on a penalty. Wasn't on a completed pass or anything else, but it was on a penalty.
Yeah.
It was man coverage. And like I said, that guy, Kevin King, just really had a tough, tough game. And they got him back for yesterday's game. They were all excited. They were totally healthy in the secondary. And it was almost like he forgot how to play football in a couple aspects, especially at the end of the first half. I mean, you know, Mike Evans, you know, he made him look silly on the first touchdown. But that Scotty Miller touchdown, that cannot happen. And think about this.
I thought that was more scheme, though, than anything, wasn't it?
Yeah, but think about this. So you have Bruce Arians, who is thinking about punting the ball there.
Sure, yeah.
And he calls timeout, and I don't know if it was Brady who told him or Byron Leftwich, their offense coordinator. Somebody told Bruce Arians, look, man, we're not punting the ball. Let's go for it. And they decide to go for it to get the first down. And the next thing you know, Scotty Miller's in the end zone. It's not only scheme. Yes, it's scheme. But it also is you got to tell your players, guys, nobody behind us. Nobody behind us. And it was a great throw and catch, and it was just really, really unfortunate for Green Bay. How about going into halftime under those circumstances?
Oh, of course. And then right out of halftime, it was in the third quarter that you had the Aaron Jones
right
fumble. Yeah, but and also really you felt like the Buccaneers were in full control after the Aaron Jones fumble, and he's out with the injury. And I was – actually surprised that the game didn't get out of hand at that point like the regular season game did. I mean, they even made reference to that on the broadcast, that this is looking a hell of a lot like that regular season matchup that these two had where the Buccaneers just absolutely destroyed the Packers. But they did fight back. They had an opportunity, and I think they made a mistake down there. Of course, everybody's saying the same thing this morning because it's just – I mean, you needed a touchdown anyway.
Yeah, I know. But
you know,
if I'm going to explain – try to explain the way that Matt LaFleur was thinking. He's thinking, let's kick the field goal. My defense, I'm going to throw it on. I'm going to put it on them. We're going to try to get the ball back, you know, with about a minute and 30 to go because we'll use all our timeouts. And then if we score a touchdown, we're going to win the game. And we're not going to have to go for two. So I'm sure that's the way he was thinking.
Like, yeah, I understand.
If he had less than three timeouts left,
right?
I believe he – and depending on where the – if the ball were obviously inside the five-yard line, he would have went for it. I think he – you had a perfect storm happen for him on the sideline. Now, here's the thing. I hope that Joe Judge and Robert Saleh all – both watched these games yesterday and watched how these coaches manage these games at the end of these games. You know, sometimes you go for it at 4th and 1. Like I to life of me, you had Frank Reich in the Indianapolis Colts up in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 4th and 5 or a 4th and 6 and goal, right? And they run a play and they have a guy wide open, and Phillip Rivers just barely overthrows him. Everybody's killing Frank. You should have kicked the field goal. You should have kicked the field goal. Frank is saying to himself, "Wait a minute, I'm in Buffalo. They got Josh Allen. They're averaging 31 points a game. Guess what? I'm going for the win. This is why I'm doing these things." But even when you do the things that we are saying that these coaches should have done yesterday, and I gave you a perfect example of Frank doing that, do you realize how Frank got criticized for not kicking the field goal at the end of that first half?
All right, it's a little bit different, though. I think that all circumstances aren't exactly put in the same box. I mean, at that point, the Colts were still winning the game. They had all the momentum. They could have added to the lead, and it was in the first half. We're talking about instances where time is running out and you are settling and putting the game out of your hands. I mean, the second that you give Brady the ball back in that situation, I mean, it's really out of you. You can talk about your defense getting a stop and how many timeouts you have, but basically it's like if this guy gets a couple first downs and this guy's the greatest player to ever play that position in the history of the game, then all of a sudden – then the game's over. So that's the difference.
So, but you're also sitting there and you're realizing that Brady's in the midst of one of his worst halves ever. So you're playing to that. You're thinking your defense is playing much better as they are getting turnovers. And just to go back to Frank's thing, you know, they're in Buffalo playing against a team that's averaging, you know, the second highest scoring team right behind Kansas. Actually scored more per game, I think, than Kansas City this year. And you're playing against a dynamic quarterback that can, you know, go the – What he didn't think and what came back to bite him is that dynamic quarterback got the ball on the 4-yard line and went 96 yards.
Sure.
And that's why he went for it, because he knows how dynamic that quarterback is and how good that offense was, especially in their own building. So this is the life of a coach. They make a decision. They get ripped for it when it doesn't work. Now, I believe that if Green Bay kicks the field goal yesterday – and they get the ball back, and Aaron Rodgers goes down there and throws a touchdown pass, and they're going to the Super Bowl. Matt LaFleur is lauded as the greatest coach of all time.
No, see, this was all a first guess, though. You know what I'm saying? This was not a second guess.
Everybody reacted in real time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about it. But again, I think like it's because of where they were, how far away they were, and because they had all three of their timeouts left. If they did not have all three of their timeouts left, he would have went for it. There's no question in my mind he would have went for it.
Well, the other problem with this is, you know, Frank Reich went with it with Phillip Rivers, who just retired, who made a bad throw in that situation. Matt LaFleur didn't go for it in that with, you know, 2 minutes and 9 seconds to go in a game where you still needed a touchdown at that point with the guy who's going to be the MVP.
And you still would have had a moment where the clock would have stopped where you wouldn't have had to use one of your timeouts.
Right.
That's the other thing. See, like, this is the thing about coaching, and this is why a coach has to have somebody that is just clearly looking at game situational football so they can help them make these decisions. And not all the decisions are going to turn out right. You may make the right decision, but it may be the wrong play or it may not be an executed play. And I would hope, and I wanted to ask Coach Saleh this the other day, and we never got to it, but you know, are you going to have somebody in your ear during games when it comes to replay reviews, going for it on fourth down. Like, now all of a sudden, you are thrust into a totally different set of circumstances as a coach. You are no longer just a defensive coordinator calling your defense and trying to get your guys all, you know, fired up in the play great and hustle after the ball. All that stuff is good. But when it really comes down to brass tacks, yeah, you have to be a leader of men, but you have to make decisions on the field that the guys that you're leading believe that you know what you're doing.
Oh, sure. And it changes just like this, the perception in the league. Matt LaFleur, prior to this game, was, look at the young coach who came in a difficult situation and made the Packers better and got all of this out of Aaron Rodgers and just an amazing hire. And now, this morning, look at this donkey that was the dumbest decision we've ever seen in our lives. I mean, that's basically where he went. Because this, to me, it really, with the circumstances, the time, the player that you had, it was as bad as it gets. And I mean, I wish I could, and I know what you're saying. He felt like he had four timeouts. He felt like you get a stop with the way that Brady was playing and that offense was playing and their defense was playing. You give yourself an opportunity to score a touchdown, you win the game. But I mean, you still needed a touchdown. You had Aaron Rodgers in that situation. Even if you didn't get the two-point conversion, if you got the ball back, a field goal would have won the game. It just all around just wasn't a smart play.
And everybody, look, we all feel like he should have went for it. There's no question. I'm just trying to give you a reason as to why he didn't go for it.
Sure, I understand.
And he ended up kicking the field goal, which ended up putting them within four, but within five. But, you know, the interesting thing is that it's like a weird deal. He went for 2 points earlier.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which he didn't have to do.
Mm-hmm.
He would have just been down seven.
Yeah, I wonder in that situation, would he have gone for it or
again,
not?
Like I said, you know, I throw that stupid two-point chart out, and I know, like, the analytics guys will argue with you until you're blue in the until they're blue in the face as to why you always go for two.
Sure,
you know, you should always do it. And my thing is like every game is different, every situation is different, and I have a steadfast rule: you don't go for two until you have to. You know, stop chasing points. You just don't know how things are going to end up. But nonetheless, you know, at the end of the day, we at CBS should be really, really happy. It's Brady, it's Mahomes, it's Andy Reid, it's Bruce Arians. The old coaches made it, not the new coaches. You got the older the quarterback. You got the best young player. So this will be Brady's 45th playoff game. 45th playoff game. That Super Bowl 55 is going to be 45 games for him played. Patrick Mahomes, all in, postseason, regular season, has played 53 games.
That is incredible.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Good morning, Jerry. What's happening?
Well, good morning, guys. How about we take it in sequence? We start at Lambeau Field yesterday afternoon. Bucks, Packers. There was a lot happening here. You guys talked about the end and kicking the field goal, not going for it, as we know. But perhaps one of the biggest sequences was the Bucks going for it on 4th and 5 after they put the punting unit on the team, call the timeout, come back out. And with not much time on the clock, they strike.
Running back Black winds up long pass down the near side. Caught for a touchdown. Falling in the end zone, Scotty Miller. The Buccaneers have scored.
It was a 39-yard throw from Brady to Miller. And the Bucks had a 21-10 lead at that point. Then they come out in the second half with the turnover, score again. And they wind up winning 31-26. Here is Bruce Arians on going for it at the end of the half.
When it come here to not take chances to win the game.
No, that's exactly
all
what
right,
they did.
So that's what we've just been talking about all morning, taking chances and recognizing where you are. And this turned out to be a perfect call. I don't know what Kevin King, he's the defensive back that was beat on this one. I don't know what he's thinking. He's looking in the backfield for some reason, like unaware of how much time's left, where they are in the game. And that has to be communicated from the sideline, the defensive coordinator, to the captain in the defensive huddle, usually the middle linebacker. And then he's got to communicate, guys, nobody behind you, nobody behind you. And there was no pass rush or little to no pass rush on that particular play. And Brady found Miller wide open past King. It's just a really unfortunate play for a guy who had been out for a while and came back and played in this game. And he had a couple really, really bad plays in this game.
Here is Matt LaFleur on not going for the touchdown and kicking the field goal late. It's about 15 seconds or so as he takes you through his thinking.
The way I was looking at it was we essentially had 4 timeouts with the 2-minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end. But, you know, we got called for the PI.
For the PI. Okay. Well, I mean, the guy
which,
did
by
hold
the way, was an obvious PI.
Yes.
No question about
right.
it. But there were other obvious PIs in this game that were not called against Tampa. I don't know if you saw a couple
no,
of those.
No, I know. And that's what everybody was screaming about was, oh, now you're going to throw the flag. You'll let the guys play the entire game. But to me, I mean, this in that situation, if I am a Green Bay Packer fan and I see that replay, and I'm telling you I've been in this situation with my teams, I would go, all right, that's a penalty. There's nothing I can do. That was not a ticky-tack foul.
It's because of the jersey grab and pull.
He's holding on to him. He's impeding his progress.
Let me ask you about the play that was, the interception by Aaron Rodgers that led to that.
You're right, but not as obvious.
Right, it wasn't as obvious. That jersey went about 3 yards.
Yeah, right. I know, I'm just saying, but like you can understand why a Green Bay Packer fan would be upset about it. I mean, I totally understand. And I understand the call here. This is the call that wins the game for the Buccaneers.
I mean, you have
I mean,
to
look at that.
You have to understand that's a penalty. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm not saying it's not a penalty.
You can't expect to get a break there. You can't.
That poor kid King had a really bad game. Just a really bad game. And, you know, there is no question in my mind that it is pass interference. I'm just saying that the Green Bay Packer faithful will tell you that there were 2 or 3 spots in the game where something similar happened, maybe not as egregious as that, but they were holding on a couple different plays. And the interception before this, you could argue that in the regular season they would have called that pass interference. I actually like it when they don't call penalties.
Sure.
But this happened to be the play of the game, and it was the right call by the official. I'm not saying it wasn't. It's just that Green Bay Packer fans would argue that it happened.
I'd be more upset with the way that the first half ended and the way that my coach chickened out in the biggest moment. That would be the 2 things that would bother me more than that penalty call.
And Dez caught it, so suck it up. I'm just kidding. Here was Tom Brady. He is going to a 10th Super Bowl. 10. What a group effort.
It's taken a lot of different people over the course of the season on offense, defense, special teams to come through. And, you know, that's why we're still playing. There's going to be 2 teams left playing. We're going to be one of them.
Yeah, they are in their home stadium.
The first quarterback or the first player, I think, in NFL history to play in 3 different decades when it comes to Super Bowls.
How about that? It is impressive. There's no question. And it's sad for Aaron Rodgers. Such a good season. And it's over now.
A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain. you know, myself included.
Oh.
I don't know.
That's what's sad about it.
What does that mean?
That was a little Ben Roethlisberger-esque there.
Yeah, it was.
Let me just drop this here and let you guys dissect it, and I'll just walk away.
Fourth NFC Championship loss in the last 7 years for the Packers. For the Bucks, Super Bowl, Bruce Arians, unbelievable.
There were times when I never thought it would happen. I never thought I'd get a head coaching job. And after the cancer scare in Arizona, you know, sitting out that year and then coming back, this has been the most rewarding year of coaching in my life.
Not done, though, yet.
I think he's retired like three different times.
Oh, sure, yes. Mm. He even retired as being an offensive coordinator before he got his first head coaching job.
Yeah, and then he came to work with us at CBS. He was like, man, I hate this job. This sucks.
Yeah, he was unfiltered, too.
He was. He said that one guy was wide-ass open on the broadcast. That was great. And this is the play action here makes the tight end wide-ass open. Probably can't say that on CBS, but it was fun.
Probably not. And so we then found out that they, I think as most people expected, would play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Second down and 10. They will shift Darrell Williams to the backfield to the left of Mahomes. Two receivers left. Mahomes slings it over the middle. Caught by Hill. Makes a move upfield to the 40. 35. Another cut. 50. And there goes Hill. Off and running. Tyreek Hill could go. Hill inside the five, finally brought down by the safety Micah Hyde. 72 yards for Hill.
Iron Eagle, Westwood One on the Fan, would set up a touchdown, part of a 38-24 win. Tyreek Hill was just amazing. 9 catches, 172 yards. He was running away from guys, running through guys. And Patrick Mahomes, 325, 3 touchdowns as they advance and look to...
See how many times he got away from free rushers coming through?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That one, it was the second quarter.
Yeah.
It was like a 3rd and 6. Guys comes free. He fakes, he pump fakes, and then sort of shimmies to his left and then throws sidearm to Travis Kelce with the first down. I mean, that play right there was, only he can make.
That was really the difference in the game when you think about it, because Steve Spagnuolo, for the most part, had Josh Allen bottled up. I mean, he made a couple plays late in the game, but in the first half, he was unable to get away from the pass rush and the blitzes that they were sending. But Patrick Mahomes was able to get away from guys that were coming free, so... guys, that's how these young guys extend the plays.
Well, a couple of years ago, you had Brady going through Mahomes and the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl when he was at New England. Now Mahomes will play Brady. Here's Andy Reitz. This is fitting.
You remember when Tom came into the locker room after the championship game and talked to Patrick, and Patrick responded like, you know, a young guy would respond to the GOAT.
The GOAT, yes. Well, now they get to play each other in the Super Bowl. Pretty cool. Here was Mahomes at the concussion last week, something with the ankle. He said no physical issues. He was good.
I felt good from the warm-ups on. We did a good job as far as rehab and getting myself ready to go, and I feel like I was myself out there, and we were able to go out there and score points and find a way to win against a really good football team.
Yeah, and you also had Travis Kelce, 13 catches, 118 yards, 2 scores. He says this was a tough win.
That's a good football team right there. Don't let the score, get it twisted. That team can play some football. I think we just had the quarterback back there that could make all the right plays and all the right throws. And sure enough, today he was just flawless.
So, Jerry,
and every day
we had a little bit of a theory. I didn't subscribe to it as much as you did, but we both talked about this, that the Chiefs were bored in the regular season.
Yeah.
Well, that has been confirmed.
Yes. I agree.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've seen them underachieve against these other opponents in the regular season and find a way to win most of the time. And I thought, you know, maybe it's happened like numerous times that it'll catch up to them in the playoffs. No.
I had no doubt yesterday.
They just totally figured it out.
Patrick Mahomes had a great first half, and then he gets hurt against the Browns. And then yesterday just follows it up with 325. 11 incompletions, 3 touchdown passes, no turnovers. Travis Kelce just said, he was flawless. And again, another great game.
Right.
The bigger the game, the better he plays.
Now, no doubt.
He'll have his hands full this week, I think, in due and large part, just simply because his two starting offensive tackles are out for the Super Bowl.
Now, there were decisions made here by Buffalo, just like in Green Bay. Here was Sean McDermott. He had a field goal attempt and make at the end of the second quarter, and then he had one in the third quarter. And, of course, this is Kansas City you're playing. You're not going to win by kicking field goals. Takes us through his thoughts.
Yeah, Heather, I did. I thought about it in both occasions, really. And if I had to go all over again, I would have went for maybe one of them. But the one before the half, for sure, I wanted to get points.
That was the one in the third quarter.
I think it was 21-9 at that point.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would have kicked the field goal too, actually. But the third quarter, I would not have.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, that's what we're just talking about before. I mean, it's all circumstance. I mean, when you're running out of time, you got to make some things happen. End of the first half, it's all right. You know, you blew that 9-0 lead. It was 21 unanswered. You kick the field goal. I mean, it's 9 points at that point. It looks a little bit better. Oh, but later in the game, I mean, when your entire season is on the line, not to take a risk when you've been this good offensively the entire year is just, I mean, I don't understand it.
I personally think coaches just, they chicken out. And,
yeah.
And they say, you know what, I don't want to get criticized for not putting points on the board. Again, this is why you hope that the young coaches here in New York are paying attention, you know, that they've learned. That especially depending on who you're playing, like I said, every game is different. So every coach has got to go into every game with a game plan to think about what I need to do to make sure that we give ourselves the best chance to win against. And when you're playing at this level with these four quarterbacks, you know the other team's going to score a lot of points.
Sure.
You just know it, especially on their home field. And one of the reasons why Arians did what he did at the end of the first half. And for the life of me, I don't know why Sean McDermott and Matt LaFleur did what they did when their moments came to make decisions.
So it's all set up. Super Bowl 55, Tampa and KC next Sunday, February 7th from Raymond James Stadium. And you've also got the various reports about Deshaun Watson wanting out of Houston. And if you believe it, maybe wanting the Jets.
I believe it 100%.
We'll
see. I believe it 100%. And if you are the Jets, you got to do everything you possibly can in your power that's realistic to go and get Deshaun Watson. You have to. If he wants to come here, you have to do it. Now, he'll either want to go here or Miami. That's pretty much.
Yeah, and the one Miami Herald reporter said that it was the Jets over the Dolphins, that it was Jets first on his list. It was Armando Salguero was the name of the columnist, and he's a guy who lives in Miami. And he wrote the whole thing. Jets are his number one choice, and it's mainly because of Rob Saleh.
How about that?
The other interesting thing, too, now is that Miami Houston has to make a decision. It's either going to be Leslie Frazier or Eric Bieniemy. I think it's going to be Leslie Frazier. I think that they want a guy who's had head coaching experience before, but I think it's going to be one of those two guys. Now, the question is, if it's Frazier, you know, does that have any impact on Deshaun Watson? I think Bieniemy may. But it sounds to me, and this goes back to this car buying experience down in Philadelphia last week when we heard his buddies talking.
Sure.
That he wants out and he wants to come to New York. So you have to make – whatever it takes, and everybody in a league will tell you, whatever it takes, get that guy within reason. And when I mean within reason, you know, it's not 5 first-round draft picks.
Sure.
It's not 4 first-round – maybe a combination of 3 and a 2 or something and a swap of a – couple picks or something like that, but you got to go get this guy. If you can get him, you have to get him.
I feel dirty saying this because I hate when guys force themselves out, but if Deshaun Watson wants this to happen, he's got to become more of a pain in the ass than he already is. He has to go, and he needs to torch the owner publicly. I'm serious, because when that's the way that it happens. You either got to destroy your teammates, destroy the owner, destroy the city, make it impossible for them to keep you. Because right now, he's only dipping his toes in the pain-in-the-ass water, and he's having other people speak for him. You remember when it really got serious with Jamal Adams? Like, the Jets weren't planning to trade him until he went to Manish, who was the Jets' antichrist, and he said, he said Adam Gase sucks.
Yes.
And then 12 hours later, he was gone.
Well, it's kind of like what Harden did to the Rockets. I know that, but here's the thing. What we don't know is what the agent is saying behind the scenes to the ownership. And here's the other thing that you really have to take into account, and that is the salary cap. And Houston has got major salary cap problems, and they have no draft choices. So now you have a new GM, Nick Caserio, mm-hmm. and you have a disgruntled player, and you have the Jets, the Colts, and a few others. Thank you, Allie. And a few others that have the salary cap room to make it happen, plus would also have the draft capital to make it happen.
The Jets are a perfect match.
You have to make it happen. You just have to.
And the fact that he wants the Jets, if that is to be true, is sort of amazing. If you really think about it. You know, like thinking about wanting the Jets, nobody wants the Jets. And this guy who could have his pick of the litter when it comes to teams with picks wants the Jets.
I wanted the Jets.
Yeah, but you grew up here.
All right.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah, it is.
Yankees acquired Jameson Taillon from the Pirates for four prospects. The Nationals agreed to a one-year contract with Brad Hand, so he's not coming to the Mets.
Hey, can I ask one question about this whole thing?
Yeah.
I saw Al tweet something yesterday about Moose's hot take on this trade.
Okay.
So and? I was asking Al, I didn't understand what you were trying to say in your hot take on Moose's hot take.
No, Moose did a reaction video to whoever that was, the Yankee sign. And I was like, is
traded
your
for.
Yeah. And I said, is your reaction, who is this guy? Because that was my reaction.
Oh, is that what your reaction was? Who is this guy to Moose's reaction?
Moose's instant reaction to the Yankee trade. And I
Moose
was just asking.
And I saw he was asking himself rhetorical questions.
Was he? A lot of those.
For real?
People also wanted to know if Moose was in the middle of getting a haircut because it looked like he was wearing.
I didn't see this.
The thing that the barber puts around your neck so they don't get hair all over your clothes.
The tarp that has the hole for the head.
So I knew there was more to your tweet, Al. I just couldn't figure out what was really bothering you, either his hot take or the way he looked. I don't know what the
hell it was bothering me. The fact that Twitter now is a video for everything. It's like. The Yankee signed a guy you never heard of. Our reaction. Like, I don't need a reaction to a guy most people don't know who that is.
I know Moose and Maggie do a lot of reactionary
videos. Like, if the Jets get Deshaun Watson, all right, let's get an instant reaction. But the Yankee signed a guy you never heard of, instant reaction. But by the way, it's got 10,000 views, so evidently people do want instant reactions.
Exactly. So
it's too much. It's Twitter. It's nothing but videos. That's all it is now. I scroll. It's just video, video, video.
It's kind of like TikTok, right? I mean,
where are the thoughts? I like thoughts.
It's kind of like TikTok.
I saw Maggie had a reaction, too, of Bills losing. She was eating something while she was doing her reaction.
Yeah.
Hot wings.
Yeah, because Buffalo. There you go. Mm. See? It's the whole thing.
Okay. Blazers beat the Knicks 116-113. Knicks were down big, got it close at the end, but Portland did not miss a free throw late. But Emmanuel Quickley, 31 points in the loss. Nets Heat tonight, we'll have that for you on the Fan. Penguins beat the Rangers 3-2. The Devils shut out the Islanders 2-0. Rutgers beat Indiana 74-70. Wins for Stony Brook and Hofstra. Fordham, though, lost to Rhode Island.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily. For any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
You know, rule change talk and rule talk is boring, but there were two things that happened yesterday that were very interesting to me that I'd never seen before. And me being an NFL lover in the way that I am, and you being an NFL former player and lover in the way that you are, I thought you would think was interesting as well. So how about we're in another situation where something happens on the field with the on-field officials and the replay officials.
Al Riveron.
They go through an entire process being dead wrong about what was reviewable and not reviewable.
How do you not know what's reviewable and what's not reviewable?
When you're the guy who needs to know that. And you're in charge of that. Yes. Now, this is something that the common fan would not know, as intelligent as the common NFL fan is with the rules. But this is a bizarre one. This is where the guy who is the head of officiating knows this stuff and nobody else does. So it's the play where, you know, Josh Allen, they're in the red zone. And Josh Allen is, well, I believe it was like the 4-yard line and the 9-yard line at this point, what they're talking about. Josh Allen rolls out to his right. He's in the air, and he's out of bounds in the air, and then throws the ball before he lands out of bounds. So the call on the field was that he went out of bounds before he threw the ball.
Then, and that's where they're going to place the ball in that line of scrimmage where he went out of bounds.
Exactly. So he ends up losing, I believe,
6 yards or 6 or 9 yards.
5 yards, something like that. I think it was 5. I think it was the 4 to the 9.
Okay.
So he ends up losing those 5 yards. But then it gets reviewed. It's not supposed to be reviewed from what we find out.
Right. It's a non-reviewable play.
It's a non-reviewable play, and it ends up being overturned. Now, do you want to tell me that this is a loophole? It should be reviewed. This is something that the NFL will change in the future, whatever. I mean, if it's in the rule book that you're not allowed to review it, then you don't review it. So it wasn't the biggest deal in the world, but I just don't understand how this stuff can happen at this high of a level.
It's a really bad look, to be honest with you. And it's, let's hope it doesn't happen in the Super Bowl. But every year in the playoffs, something like this happens, or something happens where you have never seen it before.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened was the thing that happened in the Green Bay game when the kickoff hit the goal line.
Right.
And Jamal Williams didn't want to return the ball, but he had to because the referees didn't blow the ball dead. Like, it was in play. So he picked it up and he ran it back as far as he could. And he did, I thought, an unbelievable
job. He was smart.
Job.
Right. He did a
smart.
Really
good job. Now, this is where Matt LaFleur was in the game. He immediately dropped the red flag and said that ball hit the goal line, and that ball basically should be a touchback. We should get the ball on the 25-yard line. And he was right, and it was overturned. And that's another lesson to the young coaches who have never done this before.
Right.
You better make sure you have somebody in your ear that can talk to you about situations like this, because you have never, ever been confronted with anything like this. And this is a high, high risk situation that you got to make sure you got it right. And Matt LaFleur did throw the replay flag that can be reviewed because it involves the goal line.
Yep.
And the correct call was made. So I had never seen that ever.
And neither one of those.
Neither one of them I've never seen. But the one involving the goal line, it may have been called in some game over the last 5 years. I have no idea. But I had never seen it like that.
Yeah, so Matt LaFleur this morning is going to get pounded. There's no doubt about it. Everybody's going to yell about him being a wuss and kicking that field goal to cut it to 5 when he should have gone for it on fourth down. Aaron Rodgers didn't really help the matter. You know, he did say in his comments about it's not my decision, I thought we were going to get 4 downs. He did say, I do understand the thought process being outside of 2 minutes, having all 3 timeouts. He did say that. You know, so it's not like he blowtorched his coach, but there was another thing that Matt LaFleur did that was smart, didn't end up helping because of the pass interference call on the third down. But, you know, when they had that 2-minute warning and then first down happens and they gain 8 yards on first down, the Bucs, they intentionally, the Packers,
jumped offsides. Then restarted it and then restarted their downs. Over. So now they can sync up the downs with the timeouts.
Right. So that was another thing that
really
was
smart.
Yeah. But Matt LaFleur is he's going to get crushed today. That's it. He is now known as making not giving Aaron Rodgers an opportunity. And by the way, you know, thinking more about what Aaron Rodgers said about that third down where he would have run on that third down if he knew he was going to get a shot at fourth down. Why don't you still run anyway? Because, like, even if you thought you were getting the fourth down, you had plenty of room. You're either going to make it to the end zone or you're going to get a hell of a lot closer a fourth down try. Like, I don't understand.
He doesn't want it to be his fault.
Right, okay.
That's why.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, I guess.
That's why you give an answer like that.
Right. I was surprised when I saw that, especially with his instincts.
They are going to kick themselves, man. They had so many chances yesterday. And, you know, of course, you have turnovers. But then you got turnovers. Because I don't know what Tom Brady was doing, and a couple of those throws were just brutal.
Oh, yeah.
And it gave the Packers new life. Even after the fumble where the Bucs go down and score and get that 18-point lead, you know, I'm sitting there next to Nate, and I'm like, you know, 18 points is nothing. And there's over, you know, three-quarters of the second half is still left to play. Mm-hmm. So you have more than enough time. I mean, they're going to have to go down and score. Then they're going to have to get a stop. Then they'll have to score. I mean, you know, before you know it, you'll be within 3 points. But, you know, they always want to go for two and all this other crap. And that's the other thing I don't agree with. But it was a ball that should have been caught.
Yeah. And we talk about the Packers picks and the Bucs turnovers in the second half. There was one that could have changed this game in a major way, too, that was dropped. So right before the Scotty Miller touchdown, I forget the name of the defensive back, has this opportunity to pick off Tom Brady before that play where they throw the touchdown to Scotty Miller. And he's just, I mean, it was one of those, like when you ever try to like throw a football to a 2-year-old and they'll just like grab air and then the ball hits him in the face. That's basically what happened in that situation. So that's another one of those kick yourself moments for the Green Bay Packers yesterday where they feel like they should be in the Super Bowl tonight.
They're going to be sick, man.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, these legacy conversations are tired, and Tom Brady, obviously, we're going to talk about it from a positive standpoint, but and as good as Aaron Rodgers has been, and now this year where he's going to be the MVP, he gets a home playoff game, home NFC championship game, he's favored, he loses again, he's only been to the Super Bowl once, he won that one, which is a huge deal, but, I mean, you really look back on the Green Bay Packers with him at that level. And as great as they have been, and they're always in it, like you always tell me, it's better to be in it, and they're always in it.
Sure.
But the totality of it is they've underachieved. They have. When you're in that many championship games and you lose that many, and you've got the best player, and he's generally been one or two every year, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you really should have accomplished
now,
more.
You're not gonna say that they're frauds like you call the New Orleans Saints frauds. Are you?
I'm not. I can't as a Vikings fan because it's very, very hard. Now, I know that, you know, the Vikings have had their moments against the Packers and vice versa over the years. It's just hard for me with the success that they have had and also have a Super Bowl, you know, in recent memory for me to sit there and call the Green Bay Packers frauds when the Minnesota Vikings are in that same division. I mean, the Packers have dominated most of the time. So it's hard for me to say
that.
So
now the question is, do you think we see your favorite player, Antonio Brown, in Super Bowl 55?
Probably. I guess. I mean, he was out for this game. I don't know the severity of his knee injury. I just knew he was out. I mean, I hate the fact. The Bucs are a lot more palatable when he's not around. That's when I really turned on the Buccaneers, is when they brought him in. I've always liked Brady. You know, Gronk is a little bit of a goofball. We know that. But I really sort of turned on the Buccaneers when they gave Antonio Brown a shot. So, like, they were a lot easier to watch and not hate when Antonio Brown was there. But if he is back playing in the Super Bowl, then, yeah, I mean, it kind of makes me sick.
Okay.
It really does.
All right.
With some of the behavior that we've seen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.